seated. Well, good morning. So I started off the week going to be over that spot, and somehow I found my way over to this spot. So what a wonderful week. Well, happy new year and all that good stuff. Welcome. We appreciate you being here. A wonderful turnout. We didn't quite know what we were going to expect, but we're here. God is here as well, and we say good morning to you. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. Listen now to the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, you are the merciful Lord that has called us even now, after thousands of years. You are the Lord God Almighty who calls sinners from the place that they are. Father, I thank you for calling a man such as Abraham. Father, help us, those who many, many centuries later are still hearing the call that you give us upon our lives. Father, we thank you for the faith that is a gift from you. We thank you for removing hearts of stone and giving us hearts inclined to hear your gospel. Father, I pray that you will open up ears and hearts and minds. And Father, may we all go away from this place having experienced you. Come now, Father. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. I am haunted by songs from my youth, jingles from my youth, mnemonic devices the military forced me to remember. I can remember things like the jingle from McDonald's. I will be on my deathbed and be able to spout that out. I will be able to stand at attention and tell you, be my little general. Well, if you're wondering what be my little general is, I can tell you. It is the rank in order of generals. Why do I know that? I don't know. But I am ready, just in case my country ever calls me again, to say, Blake, what is the rank according to generals? I will be ready. But there are a lot of things that are, I must admit, as I get a little older, that are a little bit more muddled in my mind. And this week, as I was kind of looking back over the things of Abraham, I kept coming back to that little song. That little song, you remember it, that we used to sing as kids. Father Abraham, right? So I kept going, how does that song go again? And it kept bothering me because all I could seem to remember is that Father Abraham had many sons and something about left feet, right feet, your chin up, your chin down. After that, it's a muddled mystery. So there are a few things that I might not know, but I do know after reading Scripture that Father Abraham is paid two of the highest compliments of anyone in Scripture. In Romans chapter 4, Paul himself calls him the father of all who believe. And in many places, in the book of James included, he is called the friend of God. Now, I don't know about you, but how would you like to have that on your business card, right? The friend of God. I'm sure, Brian, if you had it at your bank, the HR might be calling, right? The friend of God. So we'll look now to Father Abraham this morning and how his model of faith instructs us in our own pilgrimage. We'll see that a faith that pleases God goes, and this is where you can help, because these are going to be mnemonic devices that I am imparting upon you, because I want you to remember this. A faith that pleases God goes without knowing where, goes without knowing when, and goes without knowing how. So that's been implanted in your brains now. First, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing where. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Thank you, front row. Before we get overly impressed, though, with good old Father Abraham, I want to back you up a little bit to when Father Abraham was just Abram. You remember that. There's several clues as to who Father Abraham, or as we now know him, just good old Abram, was. I want to back you up to Genesis chapter 12. It shows that he's one of Shem's descendants. Now, if you don't remember from Sunday school who Shem is, he's one of the three sons of Noah. So this is about 400 years. 400 years since Noah. 400 years. That's a long time. But Noah was one who got to see kind of the world go to hell in a handbasket, if you would. And his son is probably still living, because this guy lives to be 600 years old. And so good old Shem gets to kind of see everything kind of recircle itself. And Shem kind of sees this pattern that we find ourselves in over and over again, this pattern of sin. And this guy named Abram, one of his descendants, probably like the eighth or ninth, I didn't do the counting, it was a little bit too much math, now is, you know, in a place where everything kind of has just fallen apart. Joshua 24, and before you go saying how great of a guy Abraham was before God intervened in his life, check out Joshua chapter 24 sometime. Joshua mentions that his father, who was Terah, worshipped other gods, implying that good old Abram also worshipped other gods because, you know, it kind of runs in the family. He grew up in Ur. Now, if you're saying, you know, maybe he forgot where he was from, you know, that's kind of the joke. I'm sorry, I don't get that one. Maybe I got one over there. That's okay. He grew up in Ur. This was like a technological wonder of its day. In the 1920s, they think that they actually dug this place up, and they found, now this was a long time ago, they found paved streets. They found indoor plumbing. And I know some of y'all are like, really? That's all they had? Folks, there's places around the world today that don't have indoor plumbing. And how many thousands of years ago was this that these guys had all of that? So it was one of the technological, just wonderment places of its day. And they also worshipped the moon god, Nama. Oh, you know, that doesn't mean much to us. But, you know, if Terah's in the business, actually by Jewish, some of the Jewish guys thought that he actually sold, get this, he sold gods for a living. Now, how would you like to have that as a job? Dad, what do? I sell gods for a living. And like father, like son. So before, again, you're really all that impressed with Father Abraham, just remember these things. His father, Terah, had started to move to Canaan. So God must have been working in his life at some point, because he goes, starts making this trek to Canaan, but he takes this really strange pathway to get, like, due west. So it would be like if you were in Orlando, and to get to St. Petersburg, you get on I-4, right? You all shake your head at me. Yeah. You get on I-4, and you start heading west. But instead of heading west, you hit the toll road in Orlando, right? Because you're in Orlando. Play along with me. and you're driving and you get to I-75 and you're trugging on through like Ocala and you stop and say hi to all the folks there while you're in Ocala, because that's what I do. Nobody got that, that's okay. You get to I-10, you start heading, let's say you go to Tallahassee. Well, that's kind of the strange thing that we have here, is that Tara goes to Haran for some strange reason. And that's where God, finally, when Abram is 75 years old. How old was Abram? 75 years old. And God finally intervenes in his life. And God tells him to get out of it. God tells him to go to Canaan. I mention these things because some of you may be saying, God must have sought him out because of his faith. That's not what we see. What we do see is someone like each and every one of us before God intervenes, before God condescends to us. A sinner, given the gift of a new heart and the faith to believe the gospel. His was a faith that looked forward. I know that that seems strange to us, doesn't it? His was a faith that looked forward to Christ. Ours is a faith that has the privilege of looking in reverse. We can see what happened. But it's nevertheless the same gospel. And God told him to go. And what's amazing is that he went. And he went immediately. Now, here's where we should be impressed with. He went without knowing where, and he went immediately. The present participle in the words, when he was called, literally means while he was being called. Did you get that? I can get a little louder if you like. While he, y'all like, please don't do that. While he was being called, he leaves immediately. And that's the model of faith. Some commentators say that he obeyed the call while God's voice, listen to this, was still ringing in his 75-year-old ears. God says go, and he goes. He leaves immediately. He leaves all of that stuff behind. That's what sets him apart, my friends. God said go. He went, and he went without knowing where. Thank you. Y'all are getting that. And remember, God didn't give him any coordinates for his GPS smartphone. God didn't tell him to stop off at AAA and get a map. Some of y'all don't even know what that is, right? So. Did I mention he was 75 years old? At a time when most would be retiring, he has to, like, get out there and go. At a time when most would be slowing down, he has to get the job done. And he leaves. And he goes into the great unknown, to a place that he had never been, to receive an inheritance he knew nothing about. After all, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing where. Before this is over, y'all are going to get it. Secondly, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing when the promise will be fulfilled. Verses 9 through 10. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For when he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. The text makes it clear that he goes to the land of promise, but never actually obtains the inheritance. He lives as a permanent resident alien in tents. Now we'll circle back to that in a second. One thing I know for sure, and just take it from me personally here, is that you do not live permanently in a tent. And Nick, I am directing this at you, my friend. For many, many moons ago, when I was a youth pastor, when I was in seminary at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, or as they say, Louisville, I had the great privilege of being under a pastor who had this kind of love-hate relationship with kind of the younger families of the church. He's see, they loved him because he was their pastor when he was young. And then, of course, he left for like 15, 20 years and left and went away and, you know, did all the things, the wonderful things, became a doctor and all that stuff. And in the meantime, they all had kids, right? And so this is where I come in. Because he was really mad that during the spring months, which are usually beautiful in Louisville, Kentucky, during the spring months, all of these young families like to go out camping together. And again, this is where I come into the picture. He calls me in his office with a scheme and plot. Blake, he says, I would like you to have Sunday school with all of these younger families and their kids, since you are the youth pastor. You go out there and you lead them in Sunday school. Like, they would really love to have me along. Wow. So this is where the tent comes in. Because what I did not know is that these folks were not really living in tents. They all had campers and pop-ups and all that stuff. And guess what I got? I got a tent. I got a blow-up mattress and a tent. And usually during springtime in Louisville, Kentucky, it's usually very nice. That weekend, it was 30 degrees. Did I mention that I was in a tent? Did I mention that I was on a blow-up air mattress with a small leak? And by the end of the night, I literally was on the ground. The next night, and this is me from evermore, I went and stayed at a hotel. And that, my friends, was the last time I ever stayed in a tent. Don't ask me to go to a tent. And Nick, be sure and check that in your contract, but that's not part of it. So one thing I do know is that you do not live permanently in a tent. When we often ask, Lord, when? Remember that for 100 years, Abraham moved around the land of promise without ever owning any of it. Did you get that? Let me repeat it. For 100 years, not just one night, for 100 years, Abraham went moving around the land of promise without owning any of it, except for a small plot of land for his wife, who died at 127. That was the only property. That was the only part of the promised land that Abraham would ever occupy. He paid taxes to the Canaanites to live in his own land. He lived a life of permanent impermanence as a pilgrim, something I think most of us lose sight of in our own journey of faith, because we want answers, and we want answers now. But God gave him something even better than the promised land. Somewhere during that 100-year journey, he learned to focus on God's finished work, and God allowed him to skip, listen to this, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. God gave him a vision of the end process. God allowed him to see that vision that only he had. God allowed him to skip all of the way over and see that builder, whose maker and founder is God. God gave him something so much better than some dirt. God gave him a glimpse into the end result, the new Jerusalem. The old one hadn't even been built yet. After all, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing when it will be fulfilled. Lastly, and I know you love that word, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing how. He had to have been thinking, how, God, are you going to make all of this possible? How, God, are you going to make me the father of a multitude of nations? How? Sarah and I are childless. Look at verses 11 and 12 again. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, and as many as the stars of heaven. and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Again, I'll remind you the backstory in Genesis 17 through 18. Abram had been following God and living in a tent since age 75. And God appears to him at age 99 and proclaims in Genesis 17, 5, "No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." Notice that God puts it in the past tense. Did you hear that? God puts it in the past tense to indicate something already done. You remember Abraham's response to this? He laughed. Do you remember Sarah, as she's kind of sneaking a little bit of listen to when the three visitors were reminding Abraham that in 1 year he's going to now have a child? Do you remember what she does? She laughs. But we see here that God gets the what? The last laugh. They name him Isaac, which means what? Now, when I point, you say, laughter. Y'all are learning. Don't forget that God will always accomplish his goal. But sometimes after the laughing stop, they both realize that God had already accomplished his promise. And the laughter, get this, if you don't get anything else, the laughter turned to trust. That verse 11 indicates, she considered him faithful. Did you hear that? Faithful. Who had promised. And so with the birth of a rightful heir, when Abraham was 100, from one man all nations would be blessed through the covenant between God and Abraham. After all, a faith that pleases God goes without knowing how things will be accomplished. We've been presented a faith pilgrimage of a man whom God called his friend, a remarkable yet pagan man before God called him. It was his response to God's calling that pleased God as he went without knowing where, he went without knowing when, and he went without knowing how God would accomplish his promise. Though he never possessed the promised land, God allowed him a glimpse into the finished work. Now, some of you may be saying, that was that guy and not me. Some of you just might be just saying, that was him, not me. I want to tell you the good news. God still calls individuals. He still calls individuals where they are, dead in their sins and trespasses. We don't like to hear that too much today, but that is the reality. Before God, we are all apart from a sovereign, loving, merciful God. Yes, he loves us, but our problem is what?